Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lovely. It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. You're very welcome to Podcast 76, which has been recorded the morning after our appearance at the Comedy Festival in the Ivy Gardens. On this week's podcast, we are chatting to the sexiest man in country music. No, it's not Jimmy Buckley or Mike Denver. It is, of course, Nathan Carter.
He's been sent on a barefoot pilgrimage to Loch Derg by Carmel after she caught him doing something he shouldn't have been doing. So we're going to bring you a classic best of Noel's News.
Conspiracy theories have abounded about her disappearance, but we can confirm she is alive and back from her holidays. Maureen is in the house.
And possibly, Johnny, the last ever Love Island roundup from Johnny Smacks. The sad music is in. Johnny, who's going to win the 50 grand prize money? We'll tune in to find out Smacks' predictions.
And as is traditional, as hang sandwiches with a flask of tea, we finish the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week. If you're a new listener to the podcast, go back to the start. We're available on Acast, Apple and Spotify. Check out the2johnnies.ie for more info about upcoming tour dates and other vital 2 Johnnies info. Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Keith was on Insta. Well, Johnnies, just after listening to episode 75 of the podcast on the topic of jersey pullers being a bad thing, I can say myself there's nothing better in this world than a jersey puller. Just finished playing County Minor this year. I already like this guy.
Yeah. You got a lot going for him.
It can't be a first off chat up line, because then girls think you're a wanker. But after a couple of minutes of chatting, it's a golden time to slip it into conversation. Once you've said it, if a girl's body stance changes, it's game on. If it doesn't, she'll probably call you a prick and leave. But either way, you can't beat a jersey puller. At the end of this year, we got to keep our jerseys. So it's safe to say, myself and the other County Minor in our club have had our jerseys plastered onto us ever since. Love the podcast. Up Wicklow.
I love how he says her body stance changes. Like, what? Does her legs just fucking open or what? It's like, yeah, her body stance changes. Jesus Christ, boy. This lad is a smooth operator. We got an anonymous email to podcast at the2johnnies.ie, and it says, "How are you lads? Loving the podcast. I was listening to your podcast the other week, and the topic about the Defence Forces was being discussed, and someone mentioned you needed to be under a certain BMI. It reminded me of when I went and had a full health screening done. It was just over 2 years ago, and as I was getting married, so I decided to hit the gym to do a few classes and lose a few pounds for the big day. Anyway, during the screening, the nurse was really nice and friendly. So friendly, in fact, I thought she had a bit of a thing for me, and I thought she was starting to be a bit flirtatious. While doing her check, she was taking my weight and height to calculate my BMI. While doing this, she asked me did I exercise much, to which I replied, 4 or 5 times a week. To which she then replied, 'Jesus, you're actually a beast.' I then laughed and said, 'Ha, thanks, but I'm not a beast at all. Sure, they are only 30 minutes spinning classes and circuit training.' To which she replied, 'I said you were obese, not a beast.' I was mortified and don't think another word was spoken until the medical was done."
Nurse, Jesus, you're obese.
Yeah, thanks, yeah. I'd have just been in class.
More Samba soccer stories keep rolling in.
Oh, the gift that keeps on giving.
The greatest summer camp to ever come to Ireland, Samba soccer. Anonymous said, "Well, lads, heard you talking about the Samba soccer summer camps podcast. I have a fair random story about one in Leitrim years ago. I was at it and the Brazilian coach kept going on about how he makes Brazilian kites." Sounds like a cocktail.
Or a fucking hallucinogenic drug.
Yeah, bag of Brazilian kites on him. He then said if he got enough buyers, he'd make us one for a fiver. Big enough money for a 10-year-old in Leitrim. So we all decided we wanted these Brazilian kites. Went home the night, pleaded with the owl payer and got the fiver. Paid your man the next day. On the Friday, he came back in with about 40 of these kites. Turned out these tiny paper kites reinforced with ice lolly sticks. Worst of all, he was charging an extra £2 for the string. Sure, none of us had any extra money for the string. Mam collected me, and once again I pleaded with her, so she brought me along to the local angling shop, and they gave me about 3 miles of fishing line. Went home, tried running around with it. Broke within 2 minutes. I'd say the Brazilian tripled his wages with these kites.
I'm going to call right now for a primetime investigate. Samba soccer. It's going to be like, yes, the Brazilian was posing as a professional soccer player.
I can't believe this went on.
Oh, like, where was the red tape back then? Like, he must have been just like, look, you're grand, have a summer camp. Like,
I never went to Samba soccer. So what era are we talking about? 1990s or early 2000s?
I would say early 2000s. I was probably maybe... I was 10 or 11, so it would have been maybe 2001, 2002.
2002.
It's crazy. I can't believe people are getting away with this, though. Like, if there was any Brazilians present, like, there's no way they were guarded vetted, I'd say. So, like, how, like, you can't do nothing nowadays. Like,
but
you,
come here, were all the Brazilians not living in, where do they live?
Gort.
Yeah, in the meat factory and bread and all.
That's probably what it was. It's probably Larry Goodman running Samba soccer. Okay, I'm not done with the meat now.
Is it racist to assume that I'll be good at soccer?
No.
Are they inside the meat factory, like volleying, like putting around?
I think it's a positive stereotyping, so you can get away with it.
Yeah, 100%.
I want to give a shout out to Martin Barber in Kildare, who sent us in a VHS video of Samba soccer summer camps.
It was so, that was a big thing, lads. I tell you, that Samba soccer thing, and do you remember little Snickers balls that used to go around? Do you remember them, no?
No.
So there were these like Snickers bean bags, and they were like mini soccer balls. Now they were tiny, right? Little ping pong balls.
Hacky sack.
Yeah, that's what they were. Fucking, that's a weird name. But they were Snickers ones. And I remember like going to Tesco and Ross Crea and entering in a competition. And they'd be like, okay, get like a fucking box of Pringles. If you keep do four, keep you uppies. See me fucking sweating, lad, trying to get a box of Pringles. I didn't get it in the end.
We do not have a VHS player, but thank you, Martin. That Samba soccer video is on the wall of the studio.
On funny soccer names, Jamie on Facebook was in touch and he said, there was a local football team by the name of Cheltie. That's spelled C-H-E-I-L-T-H-E-I in London. And the joke around it was that there were two Chelsea supporters in the team. And both of them had lisps. While the rest of the team supported Spurs and Arsenal. Talk about taking the piss to perfection. So Cheltie. Because the two by that lisp.
That's just mean.
They're bad motherfuckers by that is.
Now, Johnny, bad. You've got one about your dirt last week.
Yeah, so on last week's podcast, I mentioned how I completely zoned out listening to the soothing voice of a Vodafone customer service representative. And one podcast listener, well, actually loads of podcast listeners got in touch. But one had this nice one. He said, well, Smacks, just heard you on about that zen-like trance you were in the other day. I had something very similar a few months back. It was in a taxi on the way home from a night out. The taxi driver was from Pakistan and a real sound guy, so we were having a good old conversation. He had the nicest voice of all time. I was so relaxed by his voice, he ended up driving 20 minutes past my house. As I was so chill listening to him, I forgot to tell him to stop. I had to tell him I'd recently moved house and I forgot one of the turns I had to take in my drunken state. It was less embarrassing than explaining what had happened. He also says, just on the football names, I played for some classic five-a-side teams. Real So Bad, 50 Shades of John O'Shea, Roma Sexuals, Top of the Clops, and of course, Stroke Titty. Yeah, I like that one. Keep up the good work, lads. But it turns out the phrase I was looking for in regards to that zen-like trance is ASMR, and it stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. It's described as low-grade euphoria, characterized by a combination of positive feelings and a distinct static-like tingling sensation on the skin, and is most commonly triggered by auditory stimuli.
Wow.
I sound like fucking David Attenborough reading that. But, yeah, so Vodafone guy, do you know, call down to my house any fucking time you want and get me in that zen-like trance.
Hey man, do you know the way they always say, like, this call may be recorded for customer training?
Yeah. Send it to me.
Yeah.
Oh, you can request it under GDPR.
No. You want to request and just be like,
every night, instead of whale sounds, it'd be your man being like, how was your service?
ASMR, that's gas. Loads of people getting in touch saying that they had that same thing. So the weekly roundup.
No. I got one more correspondence.
Fuck.
So on last week's podcast, Lauren's mystery topic was about jersey pullers. And we were kind of saying, you know, if a girl just approached you, would you be worried it was just for your status? Or like, how do GA players approach it and all? So this girl has said, I get that there are people out there who just want to get with someone because of what they do or their status, etc. But riddle me this. I think Johnny Smacks is good looking, physically, style, etc. From listening to the podcast, I think I can get a small idea of his personality too. Sense of humor, principles, hobbies, likes, dislikes, etc. So now I like the way he looks and aspects of his personality. Genuinely. I'm from Cork.
It's Miriam O'Callaghan, isn't it?
I'm from Cork. So the probability of meeting Smacks on a night out and having the opportunity to give him the eye and let him know that I like him is slim. What's a girl to do? The done thing these days is to slide into DMs or add him on Snapchat. But if he don't entertain that, then how is a girl to know, let him know that she genuinely likes him? Johnny.
You reading that out has me in that state of ASMR, lad.
I'm 33, an old one to Johnny Smacks, but I'm sure this is just a genuine question from a genuine girl. Not at all bitter about Johnny Smacks ghosting me, because she did message you and you didn't answer her on Instagram.
Hey, I got a lot of messages. I'm fucking going, I'm sweating here, going red. I'm delighted to get such a nice email.
She likes the whole package.
Yeah, she likes me physically. She'd be fucking blind.
Likes your style.
Yeah, she likes my style, yeah. Oh, dressing in black. And she probably is well off with an Undertaker, I'd say, maybe, or something. But
it is true, right? So if you are famous and then somebody like fancies you, how do they approach you and how can you know if they're genuine and not just want to be like, oh, I shagged that person, saying it down the pub?
Yeah, I don't know how to give her advice on this one of how to. I'm shit with women, so if she comes up to me, I'll be in weird and embarrassing and probably ignore her, and unless I'm fucking langers, like, in that case.
Is she going to next level it? Is she going to see you?
How does she assume I'm single?
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Never said you were?
Yeah. I never said I wasn't. I never said not. I'm saying nothing, boy. You're getting nothing out of me.
Not on me, boy. She's going to follow you on Instagram and be like, oh, Smacks is in Limerick, and then drive to Limerick one day and just try and, you know what I mean?
Oh, it'd be class if I had a stalker, wouldn't it? So I always wanted one. Like, fuck it, she's outside the house again. Yeah. Secretly be delighted.
We're not saying you're a stalker, Jenny. We're just, you know.
Jenny, drop me an old DM for the crack. You know what I mean?
Let's have this out.
Let's have it out. Yeah, I'll give you some tips. I don't think I'll be able to take you up on your offer of courtship. I don't know what it is you want. You know, you like me physically. I don't know. Like, did you hear the story that I
Anyway, it is true.
Oh, that's fucking true. All right, boy.
No, okay. We're saying, like, what if, like, we were at the Vodafone Comedy Carnival last night, right? What if, like, Beyonce is backstage chilling and you just heard that she's recently single, and if I go up to her and be like, well, how are you getting on, how does she know that, like, oh, this lad really likes me? Or maybe, like, he just wants to go back to Ryan's and be like, lads, I shifted Beyonce. Do you know what I mean?
It is a tough one. I think that's why you see a lot of people like
in the biz
going out with other people in the biz who are like minded people.
Then do county players just go out with, like, camogie players?
Yeah, that could work. Ladies footballers.
Yeah.
Mm.
Bring a whole new generation of super footballers.
Oh, that's what Dublin are at.
Yeah. I'm going to start selling my sperm. I have some left leg. You could just find some bird with a class right leg and fitness. I tell you, we'd have fair kids, but.
Anyway.
Colin Corkery on steroids.
Anyway.
That was interesting. Thanks to that girl for that. Fair play to her. Like, you know, that's a brave thing to do.
Yeah, in fairness, it is.
Yeah. I like her ballsiness. Hope she doesn't have fucking.
This week, we have been
mostly... Wait, who's getting the mug?
Oh, the mug, yeah. Who's getting the mug?
I'd say it has to be Keith County.
Keith? Think so?
Keith.
He's getting shifts and handjobs all over the place. He doesn't need a mug.
Need a mug. We can't.
I'll give it to Smacks the Stalker, then.
Give it to Jenny.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. Jenny, you're getting the mug. Unfortunately, you're not getting me. I don't come with the mug. Just a picture of my face.
He will hand-deliver the mug to you in Cork.
So thanks a million to HairyBaby.com for sponsoring the Noel's News mug, where you can buy loads of Two Johnny's merch.
Also, to celebrate having Nathan Carter on the podcast, this week all of our podcast jingles are country music guitar licks sent to us by a podcast listener, Fergal Kyo. Sound man, Fergal.
right, the weekly roundup. What's been going on in Two Johnny's Land this week?
We did a music gig in Colihill, County Laois, and it was great. It's called the Folly Festival, and it's really beautiful. It's set in Colihill in the backdrop of the castle.
Wasn't expecting that from Laois. Such a beautiful place.
So beautiful, yeah. It's like a little boutique festival.
And we had it done up fair nice.
We didn't know you had it in your Laois.
Yeah, fucking fair play. Gig went well anyway, and people, you know, people are asking us all the time, how do gigs go? And I was like, you know, if it's a comedy gig, I'd be like, well, they fucking laughed anyway. And, you know, the music gig, no one threw at that, so it was grand. We met a few of the Laois players.
And they are celebrating.
Oh yeah, it's party time.
Like, they're like Shane Lowry, but under the radar.
Yeah. One of them, and I quote, said, I'm going to flake the arse off someone tonight. You know.
Yeah. Obviously consensually. And all that.
Yeah. Podcast disclaimer there.
Yeah.
Do you know, I wouldn't like to see him if they won a fucking All-Ireland. Holy jeez.
And then there was one of them was a bit younger, and the other boys in the team were lifting up his top going, look at that man, look at that six pack, look at him.
He's the only man in Laois with a six pack.
They're like, boys, are you coming to house party across the road? We couldn't go, but
yeah, very tempting. They're sound lads.
Last night we got a big gig. If you look at the ticket, you could argue that we were co-headlining with Tommy Tiernan.
That's what I told my mother anyway.
Tommy Tiernan, if you're not from Ireland, lads, he's the biggest comedy act in Ireland, and we were kind of, we'll say, co-headlining / supporting Tommy last night in the Ivy Gardens, which is a beautiful venue and festival in Dublin. And what an experience. It was the first time we ever did a comedy gig that wasn't a Two Johnny's gig. Yeah. So it was our first time ever playing to a crowd who didn't come just specifically to see us. We had to win a few of them over.
I think we won them over.
Ah, it was good, yeah.
The relief in our manager's face said that we won them over. He was like, I say, like, secretly, he was like, fuck, I hope these lads don't fuck this up. Well, no, it went really well. Tommy told us we were good.
Yeah.
So that's good enough for me.
We didn't ask Tommy for a photo because we're trying to play it cool.
But you immediately insulted him, which was true to your style.
A little woolly hat, like really rolled up. And I told him he looked like Harry Malloy, the mechanic of Fair City.
Yo, what?
And he's like, the fellow with the moustache. I was like, yeah. He was like, all right.
He laughed a bit now, in fairness.
I just want to say, the comedian who was emceeing, John Cleary, was hilarious.
He's very funny.
And I think the reason that he's not the biggest act in Ireland is because you can't pronounce his name. In fairness, he needs to change his name to Murphy or something.
We met this Bishop too.
Oh my God, yeah. He was saying I heard Bernard was talking about me on your podcast. What's going on? I've been living in America and everyone is like, oh my God, these fucking Johnnies, like. And then earlier in the night I walked past and I was like, hi Des. And like, I fucking saw you walk past and I was like, oh my God, I bet that's one of those fucking Johnnies. He was wearing a shirt like he was in Miami Vice.
Oh, I swear to God. 100%, yeah.
He definitely fought a gypsy for that shirt.
We love him, yeah. And we're going to try and get him on the podcast anyway at some stage. Also this week, we recorded a music video for our new single, Sinead, that's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Oh my God, music videos are big undertakings.
I'm done with music videos now. Yeah. I'm going tent the Liam Gallagher route.
How many hours would you be filming today?
We started, I would say, around 8 or 9 in the morning.
This is a lot of prep and organisation because this video had actual actors and actresses in it, locations, costume changes, props, like.
And when you don't have a budget, those things become difficult.
We don't have a big staff,
Yeah.
So we actually probably started rolling the camera about 11:30 in the morning and finished at 11 at night.
Oh my God. Mm.
Yeah, but we were up since early that morning and all Monday planning as well. And it's going to be fucking class.
It's the best song we've ever written, I think, by a mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a proper song.
Yeah, it's my favourite song that you've written.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. And our fella who does lights and sound for our tour, he put up the stage for the video and stuff like that. And he said, this is going to be the one that's going to break you. And I believe him. Yeah. I was like, I thought we were fairly broke.
So lads, it's going to be called Sinead and it's going to be out real soon, and we just go and listen to it, or go on iTunes and download it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when it comes out. And it's not out yet.
You can't download it yet because it's not out, but
yeah, we're talking about something that might never happen.
And real soon we're going to have an even bigger announcement.
Yeah, podcast fans will love it. August the 8th,
we hope.
If our manager is listening,
it might never happen, or it might happen on August the 8th.
It'll definitely happen on August the 8th. Yeah, big announcement coming.
Follow us on social media. We do a lot on Instagram and Snapchat, the Two Johnnies. Tip are going to be playing Wexford in the All-Ireland semi-final. This hasn't happened yet at the time of recording this podcast. We want to wish the Tip boys the best of luck. And I suppose in a weird way, we also want to wish...
Oh, I'm so torn.
The Wexicans. I mean, you're going to be shouting for Tip. But, you know, your heart says Matthew O'Hanlon.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there'd be a special... You know, look, he can cry on my shoulder afterwards if they beat them.
I think, like, the joint captains of Wexford, Matt and Lee Chin, are just two handsome bastards.
Oh, they should be on Love Island.
Oh, my God, they should.
Yeah. Imagine Hanlon in there. He's fluent in Spanish, too.
Can I pull you for a chat? Yeah. Amber, where's your head at?
Yeah. Look, I'm grafting you, love.
The girl I want to couple up with, because she's fucking sound.
Yeah. She's queer sound. I can see it now. All right.
That's what we've been up to this week.
We're joined on the podcast by an Irish country music phenomenon. His music career began with him taking up the accordion at the age of 4 and seeing him play the Tree Arena to a sold-out audience. He wants your mother to rock him gently like a wagon wheel. Nathan Carter, you're very welcome to the Two Johnnies podcast.
Thanks very much. Delighted to be here.
I feel so professional after doing these intros. You know, it gives me a whole different sense.
We were just saying that you have heard the podcast and thank you for still agreeing to come on even after hearing it. I have to ask you started playing music very young, we're told.
Yeah. Yeah, 4 years old. My granddad taught me a couple of tunes on the piano accordion back in Liverpool, and I've gradually got worse every year since I've played it. So yeah.
And there you go, good man. Get in close to the microphone. People want to hear
it.
You.
I'm on it.
Your tones, man. So was it the trad or the country, or where did you start? Say, music?
It was trad. Yeah, playing in Flaky Oles. Used to enter the competitions. I was in a Cayley band growing up, sent for Irish dancing lessons, but I was quickly sent home. I was rubbish, so it was shocking. sent home and stuck to the playing of trad, and used to compete every year. Went to nearly every All-Ireland Flaff till I was like 16.
On the accordion.
Competed in singing, accordion, Cayley band, played the piano in the Cayley band as well as the accordion some years. But the country stuff was always in the background. My granddad used to play records of Johnny Cash, Dolly, Willie Nelson, and of course because my mum's side of family are from Northern Ireland, like the likes of Philomena Begley, Susan McCann, Big Tom, all them sort of show band singers were played as well. So grew up surrounded by all this stuff. Probably was the oddest kid at school because I knew all this stuff and my friends definitely didn't.
Were you the only kid in school, like, into country music?
Definitely, yeah. Well,
where did you go to school? In Liverpool?
In Liverpool, yeah. And so there was trad music and country music, which was the most oddest combination of all time.
You think that's odd? Yeah. My mam used to dress me up as Garrett Brooks and make me come out of ladies' toilets in the pub with a full guitar and her boots on and everything. And cowboy hat, so, you know.
I got friends.
It's not in low places. Yeah. It's not that strange, and I'm still upset to this day. So.
And then when was the first, say, Nathan Carter gig?
I left school when I was just 17.
Were you finished school?
I did some of my GCSEs, then I left. I didn't stay on.
Rock and roll, man.
And my mum and dad were going a bit mad because they wanted me to stay, obviously, and get a better education. But I was getting regular gigs at that stage, and I got a residency in a pub in Liverpool called the Liffey. Obviously an Irish pub, and used to play there every Sunday and was getting great money for a 17-year-old to go and do a couple of hours of singing.
On your own?
On my own, yeah. Just me and a piano and a guitar, and used to sing all the old Irish classics, Wild Rover and Tell Me Ma, all that sort of stuff, you know.
And then you were gigging as Nathan Carter?
I just kept doing it, and it went quiet for a bit, you know, after about 6 months of doing it, so I had to go and work on building sites with my dad's a joiner. Wow. So I did that for 9 months, which was shockingly bad. It was just, I just feel so much for lads that have to get up at 6 a.m. to go and work. And like then it was January, February, March. It was cold mornings, me standing there like shoveling
think that, like, when we're heading to the petrol station, you see lads in Hy-Vis heading out, like, and it's just starting to lash rain, and I think, like, you know, oh no, we're on tour, like, we're really busy. Then I think, oh, it's better than that.
It makes what I do now seem like, a lot of people say to me, how do you go, you know, you'd be on tour for 3 or 4 weeks and you're flying every day and doing interviews and then the gig, and then, and I said, well, you know, I'd much rather be doing this than stuff you don't like doing, you know, because I do actually like doing what I do. I'm very lucky to be able to do it. So,
how many gigs a year would you be doing roughly?
Probably about 140 at the this year.
Wow. Now the tax man's not listening. You can work away.
That'll be 95. Yeah.
That is some amount of gigs. That
To be honest, I used to do a lot more. When I was doing the dance sort of scene around the dance halls in Ireland, I would have been doing 200 gigs a year. Wow. Would have been every weekend, do 3 or 4. Whereas now we do, you know, we might do a tour for 2 or 3 weeks and do 10, 12 dates, and then I might be off for a couple of weeks and then go back and do some more. But we do a lot more traveling now in America, Germany, going to Spain, all across the UK, and of course, Ireland is my home, so I do a lot of stuff here. So.
Can we ask you about, I suppose, the breakthrough was Shirley Wagon Wheel, was it?
Yeah, it started getting big for me in the north of Ireland first, and there was a lot of younger people getting into country stuff then. And then a year or 18 months after that, developed that sort of following the younger generation, I released Wagon Wheel, and it sort of broke me down south and all across Ireland. And it went from me just getting played on, that's the chair, by the way, in case you're wondering what the squeaking is. It went from me getting played on just the country shows to then getting daytime radio and played on pop stations, which I'd never been. Obviously, country doesn't get played on pop.
Yeah.
It does nowadays, I suppose, with the like of Taylor Swift. And what's that track you, Jared, was talking about before? It's like a new thing with Billy Ray Cyrus.
It's huge. Old Town Road.
It happens maybe once every 10 years, but I was very lucky with Wagon Wheel. It was being played on daytime radio, and I was getting at the time it was Snapchats and Twitter videos of people in coppers, rocking out to Wagon Wheel, you know. So,
oh man, I used to be in a wedding band, and that was all I was getting for a year or two was like, do rock me, mama.
Funny enough, loads of kids that come to the gig, they don't actually call it Wagon Wheel, they call it Rock Me Mama. So, it's a strange name for a song,
but
you know?
Your audience really like. Changing the game of country, such a young following as well as
it was unusual. I suppose it helped that I was only, I'm still only in my 20s, but it helped that I was young,
handsome.
Well, I don't know about that, but I suppose being the young factor, it hadn't really been done with anyone young in Ireland for probably a long time, you know.
It's hard for teenage girls to fancy Jimmy Buckley, like.
Ah, poor Jimmy. He's a friend of mine.
But it was amazing today when we said we're going interviewing you that Johnny's mam got really excited, and then my 13-year-old sister was freaking out, like, and I was like, no, you're not coming, like. But it's amazing that it's got that wide an audience, like, and it's
you can probably see the change, like.
Yeah, and I didn't really expect it, to be honest. I mean, I was gigging in pubs obviously since I was in my teens, and all I want to do is make a living at it and be able to make a good wage and be able to have a comfortable life singing, because for me this is what I love doing. But as you said in the intro, to go like play in the Three Arena and see that sort of thing, and then I got a TV show on RTE for a couple of years, that was stuff that I didn't really assume would ever happen, you know. So I'm very lucky along the way that the fans have given me the opportunity to do it. So.
Because I think the country fans, the people who go to country gigs, they approach it differently to, you know, Electric Picnic or Longitude. Like the people, where are you playing tonight? I'm doing
a hall in Waterford, in Capricorn.
Describe that audience to us tonight. Who will be there tonight?
So tonight there'll be, I'd say, 60 to 70% majority of the more mature age group, should we say, and there will be some younger ones as well at the show, but it's a concert, so it's a sit down show, so it'll be a general the stuff that I've recorded through the years, but it won't be the same sort of show that I will be doing on Sunday, for example, where I'm doing a festival in Louth.
That'll be
near Carlingford, a place called Cooley, so that'll be probably a lot younger, and we'll do a more upbeat program, and it'll be outdoor. So fingers crossed the weather stays good for us. But yeah, I mean, I do a lot of different types of shows. And in different places, different venues. But for me, I know it's been said 1,000 times, but a gig is a gig. It doesn't actually matter where it is. It's the people that make the gig. And, you know, I've had some of the best nights in pubs, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just standing at the bar.
But do you have any, like, hardcore fans, like Nathan super fans now?
Yeah, I definitely would. There's a certain amount of, and they're generally all female, that come along to 99% of the shows. Yeah, no matter, like, I was in Liverpool last week doing a gig, a load of them came over from Northern Ireland and flew over for the night, stayed, and then went back. And then they'll be there all three gigs this weekend.
And do you try and go and say hello to them, or what do you do?
I generally do a meet and greet after nearly every show. So if I'm allowed, we did Tato Park, was that last week? I think it was last week. And we weren't allowed to do a meet and greet, which was pretty unusual because there was acts like Atomic Kitten and M People. And of course, they weren't doing it. So they just said no one's allowed to do meet and greets. So the ones who follow me all the time, I had to then put on Instagram, sorry guys, no meet and greet tonight, but sure you'll know next time. But
do you try and do a meet and greet then after every show?
If I can, I will do, because I mean, there's a lot of people that travel, spend a lot of money between hotels, travel, food, and then the gig tickets as well. I mean, it costs people a lot of money to come out to a show nowadays. So I mean, for me to get a picture with them, that's generally all they want, and it only takes less than a minute.
Would you have like hardcore fans now? Have you seen any like Nathan tattoos or anything now?
Yeah, there's three or four that have come up to me at the gig. One very embarrassing moment was this lady had got, I didn't know what it was, but she came up to me and there was this huge face around this area, not on the nipple, like slightly above, but she showed me and she was like, what do you think? And I was like, oh yeah, lovely. Who is it?
Oh no.
But it was me.
Oh no.
I was like, oh God, this is really embarrassing. But obviously it was just in this area, it was just the face didn't look that familiar to me, you know? So it was just a bit embarrassing. It's you, what do you mean? Of course it's you.
Okay. I tell you, I would pay some of our fans if they wanted to get our faces tattooed on them, that's for sure.
But yeah, the country music scene, like, is a mad scene. Like, there's kind of a dress code, it goes with it. Like, it's a whole scene outside of, like you said, it's not on the radio a lot of the time. You must meet all kinds of people. Or is there, like, different kinds of country in that? Like, if you talk about rock, you got, like, punk rock, pop rock, you know, classic rock. Mm. So what's the different genres of country from, like, Marty Moan to Daniel O'Donnell? Like, how do you describe all the different genres in it?
I don't really know. I think the Irish brand of country music is a lot different to, for example, the American brand of country, which nowadays is Maren Morris. Mm-hmm. No longer Taylor Swift. She is pop. But, you know, that type of new American wave of country music with Brett Young and Carrie Underwood, it's very much pop rock, or soft rock. That's what they actually call it now. It's soft rock. Whoa. But it's still labeled as country. So, I mean, that's a lot different to, like you're just saying, Marty Moan's Hit the Diff. I mean, it's worlds apart. But, I mean, I guess people in rural areas can definitely associate with the Irish type of country music. It's a lot about, you know, the agricultural side of things, whereas the Americans, all they're talking about is beer and drinking, and which also will go very well this side, but more about the trucks and the bikini tops and fishing and all that
Daisy
sort of stuff.
Daisy Dukes, you know, and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't find them in Drumshambo now. You
know? I wanted to ask you your thoughts on, because to me, like, Hit the Diff was a phenomenon and has almost changed the game in country again.
Yeah.
In that it's so mad and funny in Irish.
Yeah.
That I think, like, say, when we were growing up, a lot of country music in Ireland probably had one eye in America.
Mm.
Would that be fair to say?
Definitely, yeah.
Taking a bit of influence. But Hit the Diff came on and it's so mental and Irish that, and now a lot more country is kind of having to crack, having to laugh. Very Irish, Tractors and all.
Yeah.
Would you have seen, is that fair to say?
Definitely, without a doubt, yeah. I mean, when I started out 12 years ago, that was not there, you know what I mean? I'd say the last time that happened was Brendan Shine about 30 or 40 years ago, singing about, you know, the spuds and the carrots and the, you know, which was generally very comical and lighthearted, and very, which is now again what it is. It's about farming and the crack and Hit the Diff and all that stuff. So I guess it just stopped for a bit of a generation and now it's kind of coming back, you know.
Like, we were just chatting before you came and we were saying, like, are you responsible for making country cool? Because, like, when we were growing up as a young lad of, like, when we were 18, 19, there's no way we would go and let anybody see us dance. Whereas now we see young lads 18, 19, 20 and the whole way up, they're all going, they're all able to dance.
They're all
able to, you know, chat to girls and ask them up dancing.
Well, like, we'd manage a bit of that now.
We'd manage that, but, like, after, you know, copious amounts of alcohol. But, like you have to be somewhere responsible for that, as in making it cool. It seems cool now. Country's cool.
Well, it's really strange to me because I was definitely not that cool growing up.
Yeah.
And even in my teens, the lads were getting a lot more girls than I was because they were probably dressing way better than I was.
You'll make up for it, yes. You know?
Thankfully, it's changed a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I still had my, what were the jeans called? The wider jeans.
Flares.
No, they weren't flares. No, boot cuts. Boot cuts, yeah.
Yeah, sure, Marty Moan still wears them, lad. Come on.
But, you know, I was still wearing them and all the lads down probably in the cities were wearing the slim cuts, But so it's, I mean, it's ironic that I, you know, I guess if people say I made it cool, whenever I don't actually consider myself anyway cool, really, you know what I mean? But, you know, generally I've been lucky that there's been companies like EJ's and Sligo, don't know if you know them there, shop, give them a plug.
He's a gas man.
He's great. His social media, Facebook page is absolutely hilarious. He's got a sale on, he's either riding a horse down the the main street or he's driving in through his shop and on a scooter or a Honda 50 or something. There's another song that's actually a bit of a hit. Yeah. Honda 50, yeah.
Seamus Moore.
But yeah, I mean, it's... I've been lucky enough that people generally... I get sent clothes now every now and again. Yeah. So they say, put that on, you'll look a bit better, you know? So I stick to that.
Getting some guidance.
Yeah. Like, we're talking about that, getting country getting bigger. Bigger crowds at it. And radio, like, do you think it'll ever be mainstream? Like, will you hear the big stations playing country music?
I don't think so.
It is popular.
Yeah, it is popular, but it's a niche as well. Especially in Ireland, it's a niche. But in the people who follow it, I'm mad about it. You know, they're really hardcore. And the thing with pop music is generally it goes out of fashion pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, a song can have a lifespan of, you know, a year or two max. Generally, it doesn't happen that long. And then it'll die. Whereas in country music, if it's a good song, it will stick around for a long, long time. And people will still listen to it and still dance to it or still play it. So the ones who follow country are really hardcore, you know.
Mm-hmm. We wanted to ask you about your fans and that. Your trip to the Costa.
Yeah.
Costa, character on the Costa.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so it's been done a lot of times with different singers in Ireland especially that have ran their own trip to the sun. So I started mine about 6 years ago called, we called it Carter on the Costa. It happened in Benalmadena and... The first year we ran it, it was good. It went well, but there was a few hiccups.
Over
a poor lady on the first night fell down the stairs, so she was in agony. So we had to get her sent to hospital. So this was the first night of our trip. The same
good
night, our outdoor, we set up a stage outdoor, full rig, PA, line array flown, the lights, moving heads all on the back. Didn't a thunderstorm start that night? Yeah, so we had to stop the show. Literally all the people that were on the trip that had paid to come on were helping us load the equipment into the hotel because the heavens just opened.
Well, you get to meet Nathan Carter.
I was there moving heads, speakers, amp, trying to carry everything in. So it was a rocky start, you know, but the last few years have been really good fun. It's a bit mental if you've never been before. It's literally myself and the band in a hotel, outdoor stage, indoor stage, dancing going on, a lot of drinking, near the beach. And I bring a lot of singers along with me. The likes
are you looking for two?
You could do the next podcast from there.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Like a Carter on the Costa podcast with all the country music singers there as well.
That'd be heaven.
you have to get bootcut shorts, man. Yeah. what else do you want to ask you? Oh, yeah, about the shows.
Yeah.
You started off doing a lot of covers.
Yeah.
But you've moved now to nearly writing, it's nearly all your own, is it?
I write a lot of my own stuff now, which has been a gradual stage.
You kind of have to bring people along with you a bit, do you?
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky that the covers were had a few hits, and Wagon Wheel being the biggest one. But, you know, I kind of never tried to do it like the original. If you're going to cover something, you have to definitely change it and make it your own and do that. But at the same time, I always wanted to have my own sort of songs recognized as well. So I've been lucky that the last few albums have had a lot of my own work. And at the live show, I do a lot of the ones that I know will go down well. You know,
But isn't that the thing for a guy starting? let's just say Johnny Smacks here wants to be a country singer.
Yeah.
If he goes up day one, say he's probably on a support bill, a couple of acts playing and a house band maybe. If he starts singing all his own songs,
he's going to die.
He's going to die?
He's going to die on his hole.
You nearly have to start.
It's really unfortunate. And I wish it wasn't that way. I really do. But it's really hard. And unless you're in a folk club or you're in a singer-songwriter night and you've got everyone who's actually into the stuff, it's impossible for an act to go and sing their own songs for half an hour, 45 minutes and win over a crowd. It's very, very, very unusual that that happens, you know.
When we were researching for your interview, we came across a piece that says that you weren't immediately sold on Wagon Wheel. Is this true?
Yeah. I thought it was annoyingly...
brilliant.
It was annoyingly catchy.
Yeah.
And I said, I thought it had something, you know, and I went in the studio because the version I'd heard was obviously the Old Crow Medicine Show, which was a hit for them in the States and not so much over here, though, but or in the UK, but... It's a bluegrass song, and it's banjo and it's fiddle, and that's about it, really, and an acoustic guitar and harmonies. So I went in and put drums and the squeeze box down, and obviously we use fiddle and banjo as well, but made it a bit more less bluegrass and more country and hopefully a bit more mainstream. So when I recorded then, I was like, yeah, I think this probably could end up getting us, you know, a bit more play on mainstream stuff, and stuck it out there. It did go well at the start. I recorded a video on Ross Nowla Beach in Bundoran and Donegal.
That's for Donegal? Man, it looks like LA. Who recorded that?
The LA of Donegal.
I had a VW camper and all. And we just came up with a few wacky ideas. And the video took off. But the song was strange because it did well. And then it just sort of went downhill for a while. And then about 9 months later, it got a revival again, and then started, and it just kept coming, going, and coming back.
It's word of mouth.
So, yeah, and the whole social media thing wasn't as big about 6-7 years ago when I released that, you know, and then as that started creeping in, people on Facebook were sharing it, and then it just
takes
off. So, I mean, social media has been a big help towards me. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, it's also a pain in the ass sometimes with people who just want to, you know, give out to you and give you abuse. You know, give you abuse.
Why? What would people be saying to you?
Just people who are not into the music or not into me, or they don't know me, and they just, a lot of people get a perception of someone sometimes and just want to slag you, you know. So if you're in the public eye, that's the way it goes, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. We get a bit of it too, and it's like, how did you have the time and effort
to find us first and then spend 10 minutes or maybe longer, probably a lot longer, actually. They plan what they're going to say, and then, I'll delete that. And then I think, could you really be asked? Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, they're out there.
You know, listen, they're few and far between, touch wood, and thank God, and at the end of the day, I just look at the ones that are enjoying whatever you put up.
Exactly.
It's normally 99 times out of 100 they're enjoying it. So
our favourite late of the year is always the country music special, and we were in Lanzarote. We went to work for 2 weeks. Now, we didn't get a whole pile of work done, but we came back to the apartment. We came back to the apartment to watch the country show. How wild is that backstage, and do we all go to Coppers afterwards?
Do you know what, it's been pretty reserved the last couple of years. But, you know, I think that's because it's in RTE and everyone's kind of on their best behaviour. Like, if that was happening at a gig and all them people were there, it would be a piss up from, you know, till about 7 a.m. So, you know, but...
We'll have to move it out of RTE. Get the crack going altogether.
I always find with them as well that everyone gets uptight and it becomes a very nervous thing. People aren't portrayed the way they actually are as well, you know, because they know... It's probably going to be a million people in Ireland watching this, you know what I mean?
You don't have much time.
There's no like pre-production or rehearsal really for anything. It's kind of just on the night it is. Because it's live, as you all know, it's the Late Show live. Yeah. So I just think if it was kind of done on a different venue that wasn't as...
A bit more relaxed.
Yeah, it wasn't as formal. It would probably be a lot more... fun to watch and enjoyable, you know.
There's an idea in that.
I wanted to ask, like you said about people online, whatever, one of the things that I suppose country would have been accused of was like Irish people singing in American accents or this kind of thing. Now you don't do it. You don't sing with a bit like thick Liverpool accent either.
Yeah.
But Does that drive you mad? If you hear, you probably still hear it, like some lad from Mayo gets up and he sounds like he's from Texas.
Yeah,
you have a brilliant example.
I can't name him. No, there's a local lad who has an absolute cowboy name, like, and then he has a real name too, you know.
that does happen. I mean, I always find that it's strange. I was in the studio 2 days ago, and we had this exact conversation about UK and Irish acts that sing with a halfway between Dublin and New York accent for some reason.
Mid-Atlantic,
yeah. But that mid-Atlantic accent, but that's always happened. And I wasn't that aware of it until they started naming names like Elton John. Blue Jean Baby, L.A. Late, you know.
Yeah.
And Elton John sings with a full-on Yankee accent. Yeah. Like, so Tom Jones, it's just happened, obviously, Madonna through the years. And it's obviously that mid-Atlantic thing. But then I think the Irish, you know, if you're singing about Kentucky or something like that, you can't really sing it any other way than sounding. Or Kentucky, there she is, standing there. You know, it just doesn't really. So it needs to be sung with that type of a
vibe.
You've
got some gigs coming up. You're in Killarney. You've got a big weekend in Killarney.
I have. I do them every year. We do three gigs in the INEC, and I absolutely love the place. I've done it for 5 years now. Again, I bring in some guests. This year we've got like Cleona Hagen and Lisa McHugh, I think Johnny Brady's there, and Philomena Begley's going to come and sing a few songs.
Cool. There you go.
She's going to lay the blankets on the ground. And
you better not be on it.
You never know. Depends how many gins I've had.
So when's that on? That's on the 27th, 28th, and 29th.
The last weekend in September.
Yeah.
It's a great spot. I mean, Killarney is actually my favourite place in Ireland.
Isn't it?
If it wasn't so far south, I would be living there. Yeah. But the problem is like commuting from there.
Can you get out for a few pints like that now? Or would everyone be over for photos?
I do go out a lot, you know. Yeah. Not every weekend, but I try and get out as much as I can. And now, don't get me wrong, if I was in Galway for a night, it's a bit of a... a nightmare. I did go to the Keys one night, and I literally was an hour getting to the bar trying to get drinks, and the first round was on me, so they were all calling me a tight bollocks, like, and I'm like, I'm trying to get to the bar, but can I get a
It's unreal. Like, we'd be saying that with our friends, like, if it's all around and we go to the bar, they just say, just give your money and we'll go instead. We'll be gone for half an hour ages, like, before we finish, we do a quick fire round with all of our guests.
Are you ready?
I am.
So
love
just
this.
Literally
love
just
this kind of stuff.
Fired off. So Tato or King Crisps?
Tato. Yeah.
Accordion or piano?
Accordion.
Foster or Allen?
That's a really tough one.
Come on.
Probably Tony. Allen. Yeah, Tony.
Okay.
Allen.
Daniel O'Donnell or Daniel O'Connell?
Daniel O'Donnell.
Liverpool or Everton?
Liverpool.
Yes.
Hurling or football?
I don't really follow either. I'll say hurling because you guys are
in. You're making friends.
The Saw Doctors or the Beatles?
The Saw Doctors.
Yes, I love it. Custard creams or Mikado's?
Custard creams.
Love Island or Nationwide?
Love Island, unfortunately.
Roy Keane or Roy Orbison?
Roy Orbison.
A Star Is Born or Bohemian Rhapsody?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Slayer or Megadeth?
Megadeth.
That's interesting. Okay.
Owen Kelly Tip or Owen Kelly from Waterford?
I don't know either.
Oh man,
we're going to
say
Owen Kelly Tip is the son of God, so
I'll stick with the Tip on them. Another
hurling question: Lee Chin or Bruce Lee?
Bruce Lee.
Oh, Lee won't be happy with that.
Declan Ernie or Snoop Dogg?
Good on Declan. Declan all the way.
Declan Ernie. John Lahey or John Travolta?
John Travolta.
Would you have a favourite Metallica album?
I wouldn't know any.
And lastly, we've got a proper question. What artist would you most like to collaborate with?
Probably Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
I think he's just...
Everything he touches turns to gold. And if not gold, cash.
Yeah. So, you know, he's very good. And I love the way he's introduced the trad music into his, you know, the Galway Girl and Nancy Mulligan. And
yeah.
I think that was really cool. You know, he's busked in Galway on the main street, and he's done all that. That's cool. To me, that's really cool.
The Ginger God. There you go.
Ginger hand of God.
Yeah, the ginger hand.
They say, yeah.
Nathan, thanks very much for coming on the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, you've got the ears of the nation now, and you want to say it to the people of Ireland while you have them.
Where can they check you out, actually, on
just
Instagram?
Just keep following the two Johnnies. That's all I've got to say.
Thanks a million.
That's going to be on social media. And they can follow you on Instagram at...
Instagram, yeah, I am Nathan Carter, and I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and...
YouTube.
All the tubes. Yeah.
Do you mind your own Snapchat?
I do.
So if I snap you, actually you'll be opening it.
Well, I might open it. Like, but
don't.
If I see your name, I'm not opening it.
100%. Thanks a million, Nathan. Cheers.
Oh well.
Unfortunately, Noel is busy repenting on Loch Derg at the minute for either fornicating or fighting. We can't be sure as Carmel has blocked all of our numbers, so we've decided to bring you what is our favourite edition of Noel's news so far. It's from episode 18, Party Like a Russian. I apologise for my laughing in advance. This is Noel's news.
Noel's news! It's Noel's news!
Well, young fella.
Well, Noel, how are you?
I'm all right.
Good to have you here. Busy week.
You?
No, you.
Did you get out of bed, did you?
Sorry, I was late this morning, all right? You probably heard about that, did you?
I did. They were talking about it from the altar this morning.
I didn't know you were practicing Catholic, Noel.
Oh, yeah. Practicing. I have the hang of it now. I'm a professional Catholic. I'm good, yeah. The weather's turned harsh.
Tis, yeah. Are you flat out with the farming now, yeah?
I am, but like, the weather is harsh on the old people.
Yeah.
The young people don't be thinking about the weather.
Are you struggling with the weather, yeah?
I am a small bit now. Dampness came down on me.
And have you still the vest on now this weather?
I like the old thermal vest, then when the weather turns. Do you know? You'd be bulletproof with that on.
Go on, what have you got for us this week?
Now, my first news story of the week. A Canadian clarinet player has sued his ex for deleting his scholarship offer. Did you hear this?
No.
You didn't hear this, no?
No. Where do you find these stories?
I suppose if it wasn't on fucking nudie Snapchat, you wouldn't hear about it. Okay? So the Canadian clarinet player sued his ex-girlfriend. She deleted his scholarship offer. And I know what you're thinking. How did a clarinet player have a girlfriend? But look, this is Canada. When your most famous musicians are Bryan Adams and Celine Dion, the clarinet is the least of your problems. Not to.
What about Michael Bublé?
Is he Canadian, is he?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be gone to him now. He's a bit too smooth now. A bit too sweet to be wholesome, that fella. Now, this young lad, Eric Abramovich, he was flat out playing the clarinet. And he's fairly handy at it too now, by all accounts. He'd been playing the clarinet since he was 7 years old. 7 years old, he started playing the clarinet. Well, the parents must be some pricks, I'll tell you that now. There must be no hurling in Canada. So it was his dream to study under the famous clarinet master, Yehuda Gilad. So, if that was his dream, he'd never have much of an imagination. But each to their own, in fairness now. You know, we all have a dream. I'd love to have hurled a match with Francis Devaney. Or laid a verse with Tupac. Hey, gas man, Tupac. So, he went for an audition down this college in L.A., where your man was in charge. And he was going out with this young one at the time. Ginny Lee was her name. Abroad in Montreal, up in Canada. She didn't want him to go at all.
Yeah.
She didn't want him going to college at all. So the email came in. That's some sort of a letter, I think. Telling Eric that he'd been accepted into the course. And didn't she see the email?
Oh, no.
And reply, pretending to be Eric. And she turned down the scholarship. Said, no, I'm not going at all. Fuck you. So there was a time when Carmel used to be hiding letters from me about committee meetings, because I go to a GA committee meeting and I wouldn't go home till Tuesday.
that.
So Jenny, she set up a fake email account and he whooped the old pipe. She set up a fake email account with her man's name on it. Gilad-Yehuda09@gmail.com. I don't know where that is. And she offered the boyfriend a different place with no scholarship, and she knew he wouldn't accept it because he had no money without a scholarship. He's a clarinet player. He's not Jimmy Buckley. Ching, ching. There's nobody jiving around to the clarinet of a Sunday evening in Tiptown, is there? The Times Hotel don't have TR Dallas and the clarinet. So Ginny got her way anyway. Eric turned it down and he stayed with her abroad in Montreal, tipping away at Dal Music. But he was wicked upset over not getting the course, and soon after they broke up. So 4 years later, Eric was going for another course, and Yehuda is there, and Yehuda says, "How come you're coming back to me now? You didn't take the last offer, huh?" Eric says, "Huh?" And Eric went home and he went through the emails, the sent ones, and didn't he find the one that Ginny had sent?
Oh God!
He pure tech. He like a bull. And he rang Yehuda and said, "I didn't send it at all, Tal." And then he checked that account that he got the email from, the Gmail one, and he wasn't able to log in but one of Jenny's favourite passwords. And the jig was up. Jenny's goose was cooked by. So, he took her to court and they awarded him $350,000 to give him. That's about 800 euro. But to me, I think it was his own fault. They said in the court, Miss Lee had access to his laptop. There's your first problem. Huh? Imagine your mother looking through your laptop. She'd want to wash out her eyes with Jay's fluid. Huh? Fucking horse porn. She wouldn't be right for a week after. So.
Horse porn.
So now, my second gripe of the week. Hang on, I have a mug of tea here. So I'm cold. Give me fucking cold tea and all. So, the World Cup have kicked off. That's a pun.
I like what you're doing there, Noel.
Do you like that? Yeah,
kicked off, you know.
Soccer. Very good, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I got that out of Ireland's own. So, the tournament had a big opening ceremony. And I watched a bit of it. And I must say, it was absolute dog shite. Horse in a bucket. Robbie Williams was there singing. Robbie Williams was there.
Yeah.
I thought he was dead. They got the Russians dug him up. The Russians dug him up, babe. He going around in a shiny red suit like a bad Elton John. And he stuck up his finger at the camera. Do you see that?
I seen that, yeah.
The pup. You wouldn't see Joe Dolan at it. You would not. So he have a new song out called Party Like a Russian. Now if that means going to your friend's flat, drinking a gallon of Aldi vodka and starting a fight, then fair enough, Rabbi. But the most...
Sorry, Noel, just Johnny Sox is drooling a bit.
You're gone full fucking simple, you are. You have to get in a fit of consumption, don't you?
That's the funniest thing we've ever.
So, anyway, the most famous Russian party I ever heard was the Communist Party, and they were fucking no crack. They were no good to drink. Just complaining is all they did. But now Robbie was a wicked man for complaining too. In the middle of one of the songs, he said, "You alright there, young fella? You alright?" He gone.
I was thinking it in butcher and soup, fella.
The local shop have a new butcher, a Polish lad. He was a Romanian, is he? He comes in. I said, "Well, young fella, what's the crack? Do you want the bag?" Fucking hell, like talking to a fucking answer machine. So, Robbie Williams was going on there and he'd given out like fuck. Given out. He stuck up the middle finger and in the middle of the song, he said, "I did this for free." Did you hear that?
I actually didn't hear that, no.
He said that in the middle of one of the songs. He did it for free. Yeah, because FIFA have no money. FIFA, fuck's sake, I'd rather see the competition ran by Al-Qaeda. The head lads in FIFA, they keep getting away with all these corruption charges. Mm. There's more money gone missing than the Fianna Fáil Churchgate collection. They're as bad as the old lads who used to degate in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Do you remember them? No.
I've never been to Páirc Uí Chaoimh, sorry.
Jeez, I don't know what kind of people you're dragging in here. So, do you remember there was a time you could go to Páirc Uí Chaoimh and you could pay for tickets with cash, with punts, on the turnstile? It was 2 and 6 pence would get you into the terrace. And they'd announce it over the old speakers then, "Today's attendance, 18,000. And you wouldn't be able to fucking twist inside in the place. There'd be 55,000 lads wedged in. Frank Murphy, he'd be rubbing lads of Vaseline going in the door, trying to fucking squeeze them in. So there'd be a few pounds gone missing. But I tell you, FIFA are worse. So the opening ceremony, there was young ones dancing around with footballs sewn onto their heads. So that's cheating. Typical of the fucking Russians, huh? First, I thought they were balancing the football on top of their skull. And I says to Carmel, "Christ, there's talented women in Russia." And she said, "Have you been eating in the Chinese again?" I said, "'Tis lovely, but no." So, after an hour of fooling from Robbie Williams and Chunky Ronaldo, not the Portuguese lad who thinks he's He-Man, the first Ronaldo with the bad hair. Anyway, eventually a match broke out. So Russia were kicking soccer against Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia in the World Cup and Ireland aren't. How the fuck Saudi Arabia get in? They haven't even got grass. How have they a soccer team? They haven't got grass. Training tonight, 7:30, lads. Where? The Gobi Desert. Fuck, did they get into the World Cup? But they got a clipping anyway. The Russians bet the Christ out of money. 5-0 they got bet. 5-0
What do you mean art?
87 Like a phone number. Art.
Not naught.
Art. So tickets were about $500.
Wow. What's that in Irish money?
That'd be 19 shilling and and tuppence. But they were around $500 for a ticket to see lads kicking a bag of wind around the field. Or not a bother to the Arabs, like. Mm. They have loads of money. It's all fun and games until the aisle runs out. Mm-hmm. Huh? So it's up and running, but I tell you, I don't hold a candle now to the Munster Championship.
I'd agree there, yeah.
Yeah. If you said to me, "No, you can go to Russia there and watch the soccer," I'd say no.
That's good. We're actually going to send you to Russia for next week's Snowball's News.
You can fuck off. No, bar Ennis. Oh God, I hate Ennis.
You don't like Ennis?
Not at all. Fucking, there's only two things in Ennis. There's that bad hurling field and depression. I'm not going up there ever again. I'll tell you about that another day. But my local story, very serious. Vandalism in town. Coming out of mass Sunday morning, and didn't I meet Dick Vaughan? Very upset. The dick was in a bad place. Now, you know Dick. He had a two-man band going. You know, he doing the old sessions. Dick and Tommy. Now, Tommy Gasman wouldn't say boo. He just sits there behind the keyboard, a big fat fucker in a suit. He's like a human Mr. Tato.
So they were doing the music Saturday night at Josie Wade in 70s. A great night, by all account. So, a great night, by all account. Now, ever since Josie's husband passed away, they're in the fucking man safe in town.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'd say Dick was going to oblige. But he came out of Margaret's pub. Now, it was fairly late at this stage. I mean, you know Margaret. And only to see the absolute destruction on the main street of the village. The tidy towns had been flat out with the flower pots. And when Dick came out, wasn't there Nigel Ryan's chrysanthemums all up on top of Dick's Corolla. A few boys coming home, I'd say they got an ocean and they started destroying the place. Well, Dick was distraught. The Dick was down. Very down. He said he'd gone giving up the music and all.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he said all the young people now, all they want is S Club 7. I said, who are they? He said they're some sort of folk group from Limerick. But I couldn't believe he still had the old Corolla. That joke's as old as tea. I said, Dick, would she drink ale? He said she would if she got it. So he was telling me this Sunday morning, and overcomes the tidy town brigade. Well, such a fucking shower of do-gooders. I can't stomach them at all.
Who the tidy towns?
I can't stomach that crowd at all.
What have you against them?
Oh, Maureen. And the county councillors stuck in the middle of them. That councillor Danny. I swear if he took a shite, it'd be a three-page spread in the paper. A three-page spread in the paper. I can't handle them at all. Patricia Nolan is bad, you know her?
Yeah.
She's as bad. Head bottle washer. I swear if Danny was saying mass, she'd be up licking the altar rail. And they were trying to rope me into Jane. And I said, no way. I said, I can't. I'm over the Junior B's. There's me evening's gone. Between that now and a bit of shooting, I'd be flat out. So, speaking of the Junior B's, I got a letter in. Lads were saying, how are the team getting on? Well, there was training Tuesday night and I had to intervene. Fuck it, I had to intervene. A man can only stand so much. Now, I swallowed my tongue when they were hand-passing. But when they started working on short puckouts, I nearly fucking collapsed. And they said to me, Noel, leave the coach to his job. Leave the coach to his job. I said, he's no coach. Just because you call him the coach, don't make him the coach. That don't mean he know anything about hurling. When I want my prostate checked, I don't ring Dr. Dre. Do you know that wrestler, the Undertaker?
Yeah.
Not an Undertaker. So, I went out the coach and he had a hurley in his hand. I pulled it off him. You should see the cut of it. I wouldn't put it into the fire for fear to quench the fire. It was the worst yoke I ever seen. And that management team that are over the other lads, just the senior lads, they're as fucking bad as the Russians. I'd sooner have a training session ran by Vladimir Putin than them lads. He bad man. Little known fact about Vladimir Putin. Did you know his father is actually a bear? His father was a bear and his mother was very drunk.
Oh,
and now Vladimir Putin actually sleeps upside down in a cave. And that might be the reason that he can't be killed with conventional weapons. So the tiny towns are full steam ahead and they're in the weeds safe around the town. And they want new Everton. New this and new that. And I said, what about the traditions of the town? I says to him, you have to look behind you before you can move forward. That's what my Uncle Jimmy used to say. And he was a driving instructor. So look, that's enough handy talk for today. I must go away. We're covering the pit.
Oh.
You're covering the pit?
We're covering the pit today, yeah. And I have the whole under 12 Camogie team out giving me a hand.
Thanks very much, lads. That was Noel's
news. Right, go on. Good luck.
Talk to you later. She's been busy enjoying 2 months in the sun. No, she hasn't been in Love Island Villa. Maura, what's your mystery topic this week? Welcome back, first of all.
Actually, yeah, what have we been up to this week? We dug up Maura. We let her out of the dungeon we had her held captive in.
Maura, people have been honestly asking us, like...
Is Maura dead?
For, like, obviously they thought we had a big falling out. Then yeah. They were like, you know, what the fuck? Have you buried her in the Wicklow Mountains? There's been several other accusations as well. But
yeah. Oh, everybody thought we fell out. And yeah. I was getting all these theories. It's like, did you sleep with one of them? Like, you know, what did Smack say to you?
Yeah. No, I thought it all fucking blame me, right? No. I had no story.
Had you fallen out or fallen in? No?
No. I get 2 months of summer holidays from the late because
Mother
I work.
God.
Yeah, I worked a double shift on Friday. So you're out of time off a loo. And then.
We believe you.
Yeah, towards the end of May, I got a new puppy as well. So it was just like, I'll take my holidays early. I had a new puppy. I had to take paternity leave.
Paternity. Yeah. It was like, I got a new puppy. I don't need you two pups anymore. I've got one for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you enjoyed a bit of downtime.
I did.
It's hard work working with us and Tuberty. You know what I mean? You need a couple of months off.
It is. But no, I know. I'm back now and sure. Anyway.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I miss you. And thank you so much for Lauren as well. She was so sound.
Yeah,
sound.
She was great.
Yeah. But anyway, right. Okay. you said it's glad to have me back and then you haven't heard my topic yet. So, okay. Hold on a second.
I have Lauren on standby now in case you murder us here more. Don't kill us.
You may remember on a previous podcast, I discussed the reasons why women would turn down sex. For example, Shark Week. Now, I thought men would only turn down sex if they weren't attracted to a girl. Then on Love Island this week, I seen Curtis turn down the smoking hot Maura, no relation. The poor girl was left with blue walls, which is the female equivalent of blue balls, according to the internet. So you haven't seen this episode yet because yous were gigging last night. Curtis basically told Maura, they're in the bed together, and she goes, tonight's not the right night. He said he'd had a headache, he'd been minding the baby all day, and two of his very best friends had left the villa. So he's quite upset. Now, forgive me for thinking men are simple creatures, but in my experience, if a woman tries to initiate sex, men are very unlikely to turn it down, no matter what the circumstances. So my question for you is, am I right in thinking that it's a very rare for a man to turn down the opportunity to get jiggy, Curtis being the exception, or is it a case that men not being in the mood is far more common than I think? Now, while you think about that, I did some research on this, and Reader's Digest listed 6 reasons why a man might say no to sex and why a woman shouldn't be offended if that happens. Because honestly, women are so offended. I think way more offended if men than men if sex is turned down. Okay. So number one, he's suffering from depression. Understand it. That's fair enough. Number two, his testosterone levels are low. It's something that can happen to you when you get over 40. Number three, he's got trouble with the plumbing. So that's erectile dysfunction or premature ejaculation. Number four, he's stressed out about his career. Number five, he's exhausted. Or number six, you're moving too fast for him.
Fucking, there's no such thing as moving too fast.
Yeah.
For erectile dysfunction, you just get Viagra too as well. That's
For me now, yeah. Curtis is just playing it cool and not having sex on telly.
That could be it as well.
Yeah.
I think if there was no one watching,
he'd be nailing her, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Giving her the cha-cha-cha.
Turning down sex, that's a strange one. Like, you'd want to have something wrong with you.
Yeah, if it's your girlfriend.
Mm. Yeah. And like, imagine you, like, if you're in a long-term relationship and you turn down sex, like, she must feel fucking rank about herself.
Oh God, yeah. She'll go onto her phone and start looking up diets, you know.
She'll be in Weight Watchers the next morning. Yeah. Like, if you turn her down. It's strange. I don't know. Have I ever? remember, I had a sore Mickey for a while. Not
the fucking places you've been sticking it, lad. Right?
No.
Shot of penicillin job.
Not disease or anything like that. Like, just it was sore.
Okay.
Something happened.
Yeah, an injury. It can happen.
The old high E string was fucking. I was plucking too much.
No, we got it.
Yeah. So, like, you know, you could be out of action, something like that, and you don't want to say that. Like, although I've probably said it to hundreds of thousands of people now, but that, like, something like that would be a reason to be like, oh no, let's just kiss and dry hump. I can't do that tonight. I'm hurt. There has to be a reason like that. Like,
is it possible that your woman would have higher sex drive than you would? And then she would just want it more than you want.
Well, I've yet to meet her.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? That's probably possible.
I'd say it is, yeah. There's...
I'm lazy, you see.
Yeah.
Do you know how I feel? Yeah. Fuck it, I'm wrecked.
That wasn't on your list, Mark. Being a lazy bastard. She said, you work away.
Yeah, yeah. Here, take that.
We'll have sex, but you're doing all the work. I suppose you could be stressed out. I don't think it'd stop you from having sex. You might be having sex and in the middle of it be like, oh, I forgot to send that email.
That's happened to me once. Only once in my entire life, like,
work has gotten on your mind.
Yeah.
While you're on the job.
Yeah. So stressed out, like. And it's not like me to get stressed about anything. And it, like, it was obviously two Johnny's work. It wasn't, yeah. You know, I wasn't stressed out when I was in Super Value. Like, I was having fantastic sex when I was in Super Value.
Did I put away that mince?
Fuck it. I don't know if I cleaned the butcher's block. No, yeah, genuinely. And it was so embarrassing.
Did Mrs. Lonergan buy those rashes?
No, it genuinely happened to me once, like, and it wasn't happening, like, you know, and I was mortified.
Yeah,
can't believe I'm saying this. Fuck. But we edit that out.
Jenny's like, you know, just rechanging her mind now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're once, can you unsend an email?
Yeah, I think.
Would you be offended more?
Oh, highly. Yeah, absolutely highly. Because, like,
if he was your fella.
Yeah, and, like, you know, you like, if you turned over in the bed and, you know, started rubbing his back and he was like, not tonight, love. I'd be like, Jesus Christ, like, you know, do I smell? Did I not brush my teeth? Because I just think men are simple creatures.
Oh, absolutely.
Bottle that. Is that a you come on to, guys? That, yeah, rubbing his back?
That's what I was just about to ask. I was like, what's the goal? Because, like, normally with me, it's kind of like, just keep, like, fucking
gyrating.
Yeah, like, just like, oh, sorry, hit off you there. I'm on a rage and boner. That's kind of,
yeah,
like,
yeah, rubbing his back. Yeah, it's just like,
you're hanging on to the puppy too much.
What should I do then? Jesus.
Whispered in his ear, who's a good boy? Your man's on a big stalker then, like. You keep tickle his ear and he's on a chubby. if you're just dating a fella, like Curtis and Maura aren't going out,
yeah,
and your fella turns you down for sex, maybe he's just not sure yet and doesn't want to lead you on.
Yeah. Now, it did happen to me where somebody said, no, it's too early. And it was like, and it did progress into a relationship, yeah, but he wanted it to, it had been his experience that if he really liked a girl and rushed into having sex, he'd lose interest in her pretty quick. So he would be better off just waiting, building a friendship, you know.
You've heard us say before that we would recommend to a girl, wait until the second or third date.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That would be our advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to have a relationship.
I think, yeah, that's where we stand on that.
Just want to fucking laugh a bit of steam, like, you know.
Everyone's different, but,
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
Ladies, I don't know. Yeah, if your man turns you down for sex,
get in touch. Give us your fucking sex stories. We'll take them, right?
And lads, if you sometimes turn down your missus for the bang, let us know why.
For the bang. How lovely, Johnny. How lovely. Love is alive and well in your household.
Come on, this isn't Joe Duffy, lad. Oh, caller, over to you. Why do you turn down your woman for the shot?
Do you know what it is, Joe? I'm under an awful lot of pressure. Yeah, down the DIY store.
Woman in Clontarf here says the husband never rides her.
Come on. Yes, yeah.
Up next is Ray Darcy. Hopefully he's riding the wife. Yep, okay. Self and Jenny. Yeah, this is all good stuff.
Maura, I think that's my favourite mystery topic of all time. Fucking brilliant, boy. I swear to God, it's good to have you back. Don't forget to rate, review and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number 2 Johnnies Pod to spread the good word of the gospel according to the 3 of us. Now, you can get in touch on Instagram as well at the Two Johnnies and Snapchat, the whole lot. Everything. Just find us.
Or you can email podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie.
Amen, John.
So the final Love Island episode takes place before this podcast goes out on Monday the 29th of July. So Smax is going to give us his thoughts. What's struck you this week about Love Island, Johnny?
I tell you what struck me this week is it's been a busy week in my life, never mind in the Love Island Villa, so my roundup now will be short and sweet.
Can I ask
like
you
my love making?
Your thoughts about the photo I sent you the other day. Molly May from Love Island is doing an appearance in Queen's Nightclub in Ennis on Saturday the 24th of August.
That doesn't seem like the most, you know, flamboyant thing or the more, you know, the greatest thing ever, but there's some money in those PAs.
I wonder what she's getting for that.
She's definitely getting fucking 5, 6, 7 grand for that.
Would
she? Yeah, 100%.
Maura is coming to the nightclub in Navan for Leaving Cert Results night, I think. So
beat fuck.
Yeah. I really want to go to it and meet her, but like, I couldn't turn up there with a bunch of 18-year-olds.
I thought those nightclub appearances were a thing of the past. Like, I remember when Jordy Shore was big in that, like, you know, when I was in college in Waterford, you'd be down there fucking... One day I actually met Heath Braxton when I was in working in Iceland.
For Home and Away?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but he's a legend, obviously.
Yeah. We were mad into it at the time as well. Like. Yeah. So I was working in Iceland, not the country, the supermarket chain. And I was like, just kept sweeping outside where Heath was. And eventually someone was like, John, jump in for four. I was like, yeah. Fired the brush away and jumped in. He's fair small.
Johnny took off his Iceland uniform for the four.
Swear to God, yeah. Yeah. Covered up the badge and I like rolled the sleeves up real far and then stood in beside him.
And tensed I looked up.
Yeah, tensed up, literally rock hard, boy. And I was just back from Santa Ponsa. I had a good tan as well. Like, couldn't spot the difference between me and Heath. Anyway.
We heard a story about one of the lads from Jordy Shore was doing a nightclub appearance, and then there was some sort of VIP after party, and there's like maybe 20 or 30 people at it, and that he shifted them all.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. Some crack.
Some bang for his buck. Jesus.
I know we're going off the topic of Love Island here, but the Gatehouse in Care.
Oh yeah.
The pub in Care. They had like your man from California down one night, like, and he was like, do you want a picture? And everyone was like, no, fuck off. Yeah. Come here, boy.
The lad who wasn't absolutely ripped, who was on telephone. I can't remember his name, but that guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He seemed nice enough.
Yeah.
But
he did, yeah. I think he was stripping for a fucking hen or something. Something weird like that. There was a lot of Baby Island involved. I don't remember. Back to Love Island.
So is that what they're going to be doing?
That's what they'll be doing. Nightclub PAs. And then I would imagine some of them will be just selling teat whitening and stuff of the like.
Is there any of them that you predict will have a career in television?
So I reckon Tommy and Molly May get a spin-off. They'll definitely get a spin-off on ITV2. Like.
Are they interesting enough?
But he's a fury. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
So that's why they're getting it. Like, it's not that they're interested enough. He's got...
Yeah, but I think she's so fake, though.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Did you ever see her YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Before she had, like, the fucking porcelain teeth put in.
No.
She looks a lot better with normal teeth.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see Tommy Fury's living arrangements. Like, his family are supposed to be, like, mad crack lunatics, like.
Yeah.
I'd love to see where he lives, who he lives with, all that, like.
See, that's probably what they will go for. Mm. He'll be interesting enough. We looked up all the social media followings during the week. The biggest online are Maura, Amber, Tommy, and Ovi. I've got the biggest following.
Over a million Instagram followers.
Yeah. Wow. Maura's got 1.2.
Yeah.
And then you see other people, like Francesca has 150,000. So you can tell who's going to be voted off, really, if you look at their social media. So, predictions. I'm going to predict Tommy and Molly Mail win. Greg and Amber might be second, or maybe Ovi. That'll definitely be the top three: Amber, Ovi, and Tommy. I would say.
You don't think Curtis and Maura?
No, I don't think so. Curtis, fucking. In fairness to Curtis, he sacrificed Anna during the week.
Yeah, he threw Anna under the bus. The genius.
The best thing he's ever done is getting rid of her. But they're my predictions. They're my top three. It's been an emotional series, and can I just finish on this note? Next year, ITV have announced it's going to be 2 Love Islands.
Mm.
Bad news, lads.
Too much.
They're taking away. They're going overkill.
Mm.
They're going too much too fast.
It's like having 2 All-Irelands.
Yeah. Can't be done. One's going to be filming in South Africa. The other one then obviously in Mallorca. So 2 Love. And I can just say now on this podcast, there won't be any more roundups. Stressing me out. I can't give the commitment. I'm a commitment phobe. There's no way I can commit to 2 series a year. It's been a great series though. Lots of highlights. Lots of lowlights. But I don't think it was as good as last year, I have to be honest.
Okay.
South Africa.
Yeah, also I put no effort into this week's roundup as well. It was such a busy week.
You want to record in South Africa, I mean.
Yeah.
What, armed guards around the villa?
Somebody actually messaged during the week saying, you should do the voiceovers. Now, Ian Sterling's good.
Yeah.
If there was an Irish Love Island, we're throwing our names into the hat.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do the voiceover. Oh, McDermott does the Australian one, is it?
Yeah. Well, actually, if you were going to ask me who I fancied from Love Island, I would say Ian Sterling, because I've met him and oh my God, he's gorgeous and so funny. So
yeah.
And he's going out with Laura Whitmore, so he likes Irish girls.
He's got glasses too. It's the kind of look I'm going for now.
Snacks is now wearing glasses.
Yeah. Oh, people messaged actually about the glasses, because I wore them in last week's podcast, which went out in the video, if anybody looks at the video for him. People said, yeah, Johnny Spanks with glasses, thumbs up.
Good stuff, yeah.
Clark Kent, bye. Finally, it's Yurt and Dirt time, where we give our highlights and lowlights of the week. Johnny B.
Yurt and Dirt.
My yurt of the week is I was listening to Tip Midwest Community Radio, and the DJ said, here is a selection of tunes from a new album of this trad group from West Cork. And the first song he played by them had no name. They have released a song to the radio and not even named it.
Class.
Like, trad is mental. Here's a new song. What's called? Don't know. Just play it.
That's like something Prince would do.
Yeah. Fucking yeah. Okay, hell yeah. Prince, this is probably some fella from Borland. My dirt of the week is I've started a new healthy eating plan.
This sounds like a good thing. Why is this your dirt?
Everything is just so sad. It's like I'm just eating lettuce all the time. So I downloaded my Fitness Pal and put in like...
It's an application.
Yeah, it's an app like on the phone. And it gives you your weight and height the whole lot and tells you what you should be having. And like I put down target weight loss. Like I want to lose it all in like 3 days. I don't want to struggle with this long term. You know what I mean? Because it's tough, you know, like the life we're living now. When I was always working and like in a physical job, being a butcher and stuff like that, I was burning calories all the time.
But routine.
When you're sitting down using your brain, you burn that much calories, unfortunately. So yeah, trying to healthy eating. Everything's just like we went down for breakfast there and like...
Max had the most depressing portion of scrambled egg I've ever seen.
In the hotel, like, it was €17 for the breakfast. And normally now I'd be like, right, I'm going to eat fucking €17 worth of stuff here. I don't care if I die with cholesterol. I'm going to eat it. And then I went down and just went up to your man and was like, yeah, just play at scrambled eggs, playing. And just sat down there and I was looking at Johnny and I was depressed eating scrambled egg. It's tough, but it'll be worth it in the end.
You are losing weight. You're getting in better shape, man.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I'm going to be on Love Island next year. There you go.
My dirt of the week is the Churn Rolling Festival in Tipperary Town is cancelled.
Oh my God. That's another kick in the teeth for Tip Town.
That is the last. That is like all Tip Town had gone for it.
Why did they cancel it?
The committee has disbanded.
Oh, lad.
Yeah, it's a big loss to the town. I did a bit of training and I was hoping to compete in the Churn Rolling Festival as a novice. If you don't know what this is... Just
are you fucking serious? Like,
yeah.
Where were you practicing?
Well, Brendan the Butcher. He lives out there on the Aharlow side of Banshee. Yeah. And his father have a yard. And we went out to the yard and you grease up the hand and you roll the milk churn. And the milk churn, of course, is wider at one end than the other. So there's a knack to rolling it.
I fucking heard it all now, I tell you.
So it's just a pity. Churn rolling is gas. YouTube that. And it's not going to happen this year in Tip Town. It's a big loss to the town and to the county.
My God.
Okay, what's your tip of the week?
Your tip of the week, like really, it's probably sharing the stage with Tommy Tiernan last night.
Yeah, legend.
Because like I bought all his DVDs. It was mad then to see him in person. Like it was, I got a bit spooked, to be honest. Like
yeah.
And... I had this awkward moment where, like, I caught his eye and then I went to walk over to him and then I chickened out and turned away and then he pointed at me and, like, with his finger and just went, come here. And I was like, okay.
Bruce Lee style.
Yeah, he was like, come here, like, because he knew I was going for him, like, you know, originally. And then I kind of went, oh, no, I turned back and on. And then he was like, come here. I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, oh, how are you, Tommy? I felt like just saying, I love you. But, yeah, that was my earth of the week. What a night. What a day.
And, yeah, Mark, great to have you back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Thanks to Lauren. We'll probably... have Lauren on again at some stage. So
from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you next week, same time, same channel again.
Good luck.
It's lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.